Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. Israeli airstrikes overnight killed 11 people in the Gaza Strip. Most of the victims were women and children, according to local health officials. Two of the strikes hit tents in the southern city of Khan Yunis, each killing two children and their parents. Other strikes killed a child and a man riding a bicycle. In northern Gaza, an Israeli airstrike killed a 16-year-old boy. The blockade by Israel of food and medicine, described by the Taoiseach as a war crime, continues. The EU's foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, accused Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. I've been speaking with UNICEF's Jonathan Cricks, who's been telling me about the situation on the ground.
Well, I arrived a few days ago and I'm in Deir al-Balah in the middle area of the Gaza Strip. And what I can tell you is that the situation is really a catastrophe. I mean, you see the markets, they are all nearly empty. A bag of 5 kilos of potatoes cost around 70 euros. And I met with several children who are affected by malnutrition and they are in a very bad state. I mean, I met with a little boy, his name is Osama. He's 4-year-old. Normally at 4-year-old, you should weigh like 15 or 16 kilos and he's weighing 8 kilos. And he was born and healthy. And he was healthy before the war. So we're really in a situation where we see more and more cases of malnutrition, acute severe malnutrition. And clearly, if nothing changes, we're going to have children who are going to die from that.
And since Israel stopped allowing aid into Gaza, things have been getting worse.
I mean, clearly, this is a result of the situation. I mean, 2 months without any supplies coming in, not a single humanitarian aid package entering the Gaza Strip for the past 2 months. And I also met a little baby. She's 5 months old, and she really has only the skin on her bones. And you know what she needs is ready to use the infant formula, pre-mixed to avoid any issue related to contaminated water, which is a medical therapeutic food for babies who are affected by by malnutrition. But the problem is that we have nearly run out of all the treatment supplies and we have already run out of all the preventive malnutrition supplies.
So what is UNICEF able to do then, Jonathan? Are you able to provide any help to these people since the aid deliveries were stopped by Israel?
So we are still working because something that is really important is that UNICEF, we're not working only based on supplies, we're also working with services. So we have an EU-supported desalination plant, which is producing thousands of liters of water that we are trying and that we are bringing to the communities wherever they are. We are this morning I was in a temporary learning center where children do a little bit of literacy, mathematics. We are supporting 50,000 children with these type of activities, which are often combined with mental health and psychosocial support because most of the children that I'm meeting, they have been through horrible things. So we are continuing to deliver those services and we are continuing to deliver the little stocks that we had left. But clearly the situation is becoming alarming.
We know that since the ceasefire broke down and Israel's campaign resumed, we've seen more children killed even today, that people have had to move into a smaller area of the Gaza Strip. So where are people going now and what are the conditions like there?
We have a lot of people who are still in the north of the Gaza Strip and approximately 1 million. And then we have a bit more than 1 million in the middle area. The situation of the bombardments, you know, since I arrived here, you can really hear the intensity of those bombardments. I mean, it's almost constantly that you hear detonation explosions. This has an impact. You know, I met also with children who have been injured. And, you know, I met with an 11-year-old girl, Misk, and she, you know, her body was largely burned. You know, the most horrible thing was that in the strike that hit her house, she lost her entire family, except her little sister.
It,
and so
yeah,
it's...
It,
it's Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it really is a desperate, desperate situation. And we know then that Israel says it will take over the distribution of aid, that it wants to occupy the Gaza Strip. So what impact is that going to have then on the people you have been dealing with?
I mean, I haven't seen a paper summarizing or outlining this plan, so I can only talk about what I read in news reports. But from what I hear, it indicates that the suggested plan is requiring people to move in order to reach those hubs, and we're talking for the moment, I think, about five hubs, all in the south of the Gaza Strip. So one question mark is what about the 1 million people living in the north? Another question mark is what's going to happen, for example, to a mother who has four children, and she needs to do like 2-3 kilometers to pick up that parcel with her children. Those parcels, I read, they are 20-25 kilos each. So how is that going to work? What about the children with disabilities? What about the orphans? How are they going to get that food? So the United Nations has been very clear about the fact that, you know, we are working with principles of impartiality, neutrality, and those principles should be respected. And that includes the fact that we have to bring the humanitarian aid that we want to distribute to the people in need wherever they are.
That was UNICEF's Jonathan Crix speaking to me earlier.